Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. Now being joined by our crew on Cairo. Welcome, you guys. The crowd on KTTH already had to suffer through 3 minutes of my bloviating. But anyway, got a great show planned for you. I was telling the crew on KTTH prior to this that got another great show planned. And when I say that, I mean it. Well, it's great as far as I'm concerned, because we get to talk about the things that I like to talk about. So maybe that's why I think it's great. But anyway, we're going to be joined by Chase Taylor, Pinecone Macro Research. And the reason I want to have on Chase today was because of the fact, and I was explaining this to the OGs, the original crew from KTTH before we were joined by the people from Cairo. I was explaining the reason that we work with Chase, the reason that we deploy him or deploy his services rather, is his background is military intelligence. And he takes that same type of attitude that you would expect to see with a military intelligence officer to his macroeconomic research, meaning that he's one of the few macroeconomic research guys that I found, which pulled all of the anecdotal stuff and the opinions out and just told you what the reality on the ground was, just adhering to the data. What are the economic signals? What is the economic information telling us? What is the story on the ground? What is the real deal? And it's so hard to find today, right? To get an impartial, unbiased view of things and to remove opinion out of it. Because everything now is opinion. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. And while that might work for news companies and that might work to sell ads and stuff like that for those news companies, it doesn't work well in the financial management game because hyperbole isn't what we need. We need the facts. And so Chase is going to lay that down for us and give us a really good economic outlook of where we're at. And again, I want you guys to listen to this because I know there are those of you out there that disagree with me, but one thing we've committed to since we started this show, and it's something I'm going to be committed to as long as I am doing this show, is to avoid opinion as much as I possibly can, to stare at facts. Okay, so please keep that in mind. A lot of people you're listening to, we all know it, they're commentators. I am not. That's not the way we approach this show. If I'm going to inject opinion into this show, I'm going to let you know that it's opinion. And it doesn't mean we get things wrong or we don't get things wrong. Everybody does. But if you don't agree with my economic information, just keep in mind that this isn't me making an assessment. This is me just reporting to you what the numbers are telling us, what they are, what is the data. Okay. So, and it's not apocalyptic. It just, you're going to see that it's a substantially different picture than what the stock market is the stock market is telling us. So anyway, let's get into the market update. I think there's a bunch of fascinating things. First of all, let's just start with the obvious. We had Jay Powell, head of the Federal Reserve, talking at the Jackson Hole economic meeting. And guys, this is a tell, right? This is a tell. The narrative is going to be a V-shaped recovery. The narrative is going to be everything's great. We're going to be back on. Jay Powell, head of the Federal Reserve, came out at Jackson Hole and said, we're going to be at 0% interest rates for 5 years. Okay, that is historic. And he said, we're going to let inflation indicators run hotter than we had previously planned. And we're going to throw everything at it but the kitchen sink. No news there. We all knew that. But you've never seen five-year forecasts, right? Especially saying definitively for 5 years, we're not going to raise rates. Okay, if there was this terrific V-shaped recovery and it fit what the narrative that you know that so many are trying to spin, and I'm not even saying that they're doing it with nefarious intent. I'm just saying that, you know, for whatever reason, they want to believe that everything's going to return to normal, and that's fine. You know, I happen to disagree with them, but I don't think it's, you know, the end of the world. Certainly not yet. I mean, it's going to come at some point, right? But what he said about that five-year outlook, it's just historic. You've never seen them guide that far, especially on 0% interest rates. And I think that that tells you the real story. If you don't think that this is a serious economic event and that it's created serious economic damage, just look, Jay Powell would, you know, they wouldn't give you that type of transparency and that type of outlook and that type of certainty unless they didn't know, or excuse me, unless they knew that we face a lot of really large economic headwinds, and it's going to take a serious amount of time to get out of it. And so I just want to reinforce that, because that's what we've been saying from the very beginning. This isn't something that's going to be over in 2 years. You know, it's just not. You know, hopefully the recovery really takes hold and things really start recovering and we start working our way back. But we got to remember that you're dealing with an economic impact of this event that is twice as severe, if not more than twice as severe, as the financial crisis. And we didn't recover that unemployment. We didn't get back to normal unemployment, you know, for 9 years. And I'm not saying it'll take that long. I'm just saying, like, if it takes 4 or 5 and it's twice as bad as the financial crisis, guys, that's a pretty good outcome. Is it possible that it happens sooner? You know, and today, I think you're a fool if you say anything is impossible. You know, the current stock market being one of those. You know, I was pretty blunt on this show throughout this year saying, guys, this is a bear market rally. You can't trust it. We'll change our opinion when you go to new all-time highs. Well, guess what? Here we are. Again, S&P closes above 3,500. So, you know, it's it ain't your grandpa's market. That's for sure. Some other interesting things we saw too. A sentiment indicator. Where are we at? Like, how fired up is this, right? Like, how much of this is money printing? You know, how much of this is just investor exuberance, right? Because if you understand the way the stock market works, what determines pricing on a day-to-day basis is if more people want to buy than want to sell, then prices are going to go up, right? It's just that simple. It's a supply and demand issue. So markets can be driven by fundamental factors. Markets can be driven by pessimism and euphoria and all that kind of stuff. Markets can also, and they can be driven by money, printed money, and all these different impacts. Yet at the same time, they can be driven just by investor exuberance, right? Think back to 1999. That was, you know, there was some Fed involvement in that bubble as well. Shouldn't be a shock to anybody. But it can be driven by investor exuberance. So, you know, where are we at? We know on a valuation scale, and just to give you an idea, I think the current valuation on the S&P is a 31 PE ratio, which is second only to the peak in 99 when you reached up to 41. But there is a caveat to that, guys, because that PE ratio, that price to earnings ratio on the S&P 500 right now is a little artificially low. And the reason why we say that is it's looking at the past 4 quarters. So baked into that price to earnings ratio are 2 quarters from 2019. Where you had record, or you had close to record corporate profits. So the PE ratio is really not reflecting where stocks are at today. If we normalized earnings out on some kind of metric, we think we'd be around 36, 37, maybe as high as 38 on a price to earnings ratio, you know, by the end of the year, if we were factoring in this year's earnings. So every other valuation metric in the market right now is at historic highs. PE is slightly low, below the 99 high, but it's right there. It's right there. So that very much fits the outline of a bubble. I mean, you've got record expensive markets, right? It's never been more highly valued. You know, that doesn't portend well for future returns. But let's check out, you know, is it simply money printing, or is there exuberance? Well, we've talked about this too. You've got record trading levels going on for retail accounts that we've only seen anything like it as far back as 1999. Another interesting one is the put call ratio has hit a all-time low. It has never in the history of markets been more extreme. What that tells you is that more people are buying call options, which are betting things go up, then are buying put options, which make money when things go down. The spread between that, the number of calls being bought to the number of puts, that has never been more extreme, ever. Okay, what that tells you is investor sentiment is as frothy as it has ever been. Record high valuations, record high sentiment, volatility doing some weird things. If you're a home gamer at home and you're managing your own money, you need to be cautious over the next 2 months, because even if this market continues, which it could, you have a setup here where sentiment and valuation have never been more extreme. You're coming off the greatest 50-day run in the history of the S&P 500. You've just never had as many people to one side of the boat in history as you do now. And that is one of the primary reasons why you should probably be using some type of risk management strategy and not just going into these markets naked. And you're going, hey, yeah, Zach, that's what you've been saying for years. Yep. And it'll probably ring hollow until the chickens come home to roost. But if you want a risk management strategy, which everybody should, and remember, you can do it in such a way as where you can still get great upside, right? You don't have to give all that up. You can still get great upside. You can get more upside. You can pay less in fees. But the only difference is, like, you know, most of our clients were down 5 to 6% in March when the market was down 36. You know, you're doing it without taking that risk of catastrophic loss. And I don't know when that's going to, you know, look, I don't know. Nobody does. I don't know when it's going to be really needed, but it will. This will end just like everything else does, guys. What goes up must come down. We're all old enough to know that. Life should have taught us that by now. And if you want to know how we're doing that, how are we lowering clients' fees? How are we drastically lowering their risk exposure and still giving them even more upside participation in the market? Give us a call, 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. You can go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @KYRRadio. The other thing is, we got another webinar coming up, I believe, September 23rd. You can go to our website. We should have information up in the next week or so about that. And on the webinars, guys, just so you know, we bake our whole presentation, our whole process for retirement planning, the way our portfolios work, break it down to a 30-minute presentation. And just tell you, this is what it costs, this is what the performance is, this is how it works, this is how we build it. There you go. Any questions, boom. You can sit there, sip coffee on your couch and watch it. So doesn't cost anything. We're doing it out of the kindness of our heart and trying to get new clients, right? Anyway, stick with us through the break. We're going to be right back. We're going to tie up the market update, and then we're going to get into that interview with Chase Taylor of Pinecone Macro Research. So stick with us. Got a lot more stuff coming up. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. Let's get right back into the market update. Don't want to waste any time because I do want to fit in. We're gonna air more of the Chase Taylor interview just because I know. And I'm really not trying, guys, I'm really not trying to boost the pod. I don't really care. And maybe I should, but I don't really care about podcast numbers or whatever. The reason I push you to the podcast is so you can hear these interviews. A lot of this information, we pay Chase Taylor for his research. And he's very good. He's been published in some top notch. I mean, he's got a very good track record. There's valuable information here. And we obviously don't have time to air the entire interview in the show because we've got time constraints. But you can hear the entire interviews and all the interviews we've ever done with famous money managers and economists and market strategists and all this stuff. You can find them all on our podcast page. Just Google Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. You can go to mynorthwest.com, click on the podcast link. We're the we're right in there. First category that are not day to day radio show hosts on the show, or on the stations. So you can also just Google, like I said, Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. You can find us on Stitcher, Apple, iTunes. I mean, you name it, Podbean, they're all out there. It's not hard to find these things. And all you do is you just go to them and you click play. And you can do it with your smartphone. You do it on your computer. But anyway, I really want you to hear this. So we're going to air more of it than we typically do just because I think it's important for people to get unbiased and unvarnished reporting on what is actually going on in the economy. I keep pretty good tabs on that. And Chase told me a couple of these things in the interview that I wasn't aware of. And so a lot of good, valuable information. So anyway, getting back into it, we were just going over the put call ratio and I don't want to get stuck here and spend half the time talking just about the put call ratio, but it's just, like I said, it's a great indicator of sentiment. And what it just tells us and what it confirms to me is that everything is bubbly. Everything is at max capacity. The pedal is to the metal. And I think and we're going to talk about this with Chase. I think the concern about that, and look, I understand what's driving that. What's driving that is the certainty that that is being provided by central bankers. Right. The knowledge that everybody knows they're going to keep printing and they're going to keep juicing. Problem is we may not see another serious stimulus package of any real size or magnitude until after the election, because there's a lot of political reasons that will keep the left from wanting to do a stimulus package because they view that as helping Trump. And I think they see mission. Well, I'm not the only, it's not like this is some kind of groundbreaking observation, but I think mission number one for them is to get Trump out of office at all costs. And if that means that the stock market needs to tank 35% between now and election day, I think that's a price that they think is suitable. Look, do not read into this politically. I'm not saying, again, this show is not politics. There's plenty of shows on these stations that are. I'm just trying to read the tea leaves and assess what is going on the ground, in an unvarnished, unbiased manner. And I don't think, I don't think it should surprise anybody that the vast majority of those on the left see getting Trump out of office as job number one. And so I don't think that they have a lot of incentive to negotiate a bailout package. And the reason why that concerns me is because, like I said, when you look at valuations, when you look at, this is the biggest surge of 50, S&P's is coming off the best 50-day run in history ever, with some of the worst economic readings in history. You've got the put call ratio at all time lows. Never been lower. So sentiment as it relates to that gauge has never been higher. Retail trading activity and margin are at records. You cannot get more frothy. And I think at least for a short while, that constant flow of capital is going to get squeezed. And it already has. Those unemployment benefits have been cut drastically. In most states, that whole $600 has gone away. In some states, it's back to 300. You're going to see that hit consumer numbers. You're going to see the moratorium. Well, we'll deal with this in the Chase Taylor interview. I just think you got to listen to the interview because it doesn't do it justice for me to talk about it in shorthand here. Another interesting thing I saw as well. Again, guys, these are historic times. Article out by CNBC this week. U.S. tech stocks are now worth more than the entire European stock market. It's baffling. That's pretty crazy if you think about it. Remember, the entire European, there are substantially more people in Europe. The entire European economy. Now, if you look at it country by country, that's not the case. But the entire European economy is larger than ours. That's just unbelievable. And it makes sense. It points to the record valuation spread between U.S. stocks and international stocks. And European stocks are part of that. It's historic to watch this stuff unfold. Other one, Chase and I get into this too, but gold and silver. Look, I'll say the same thing I did about last week. I still think that they are permanent parts of a portfolio. Don't try to get it perfect. You won't. But I think that they are necessary parts of a portfolio. And the way we approach that is when we believe that something is a necessary investment to have in our client's portfolio, we will have what we call a core position. So until our thesis or our opinion changes, that will be the core position we hold. When we think it's going really well, we will build on top of that, right? We'll step on the gas a little bit. I think right now with gold miners, all the things like that, it's time to maintain your core position. If you've had extra running, good. You've caught a really great up move. But, you know, I think it's time to be cautious. Again, I'm not recommending these for anybody. I don't know what your situation is. I think this is a time to be cautious on the metals. I don't think it's time to bail on them and try to get it perfect. But just be cautious. As with everything, guys, I mean, we should just be cautious right now, okay? You know, we can have parts of the portfolio that are going up with the market. We can have parts of the portfolio a little more defensive. And this is, I'm writing a book right now. We were doing a chapter this week about markets and investing. And I think another big thing out there that could potentially hurt a lot of people is a lot of you at home have passive indexed ETFs, right? And you do that because they're cheap and it's what Warren Buffett and Jack Bogle recommend. And I understand why they do. But what people don't understand that are sitting there is you're sitting there going, look, I own the S&P 500. I'm diversified. No, you're not. You're way tech heavy. You know, roughly one third of your portfolio is in the most expensive stocks based on the way that those indexes are structured. And that is not a risk management strategy. You should not have the most concentration of your wealth in the one sector right now that is the most overheated to historical proportions. The one sector that is larger than the entire European stock market. Right? That's not diversified. That's not risk management. That's momentum. Okay, you're a momentum investor. And is it okay to be a momentum investor? Yes, with part of your portfolio it is. But most of you are way further out on the risk curve than you even realize. And this is why you need a risk management strategy. A, you got to get the bonds out of the portfolio. There are infinitely better options like our bond replacement strategy that's insured against loss with no fee, that rises with the market when it goes up and is insured against loss when it goes down. And again, these things aren't going to make you 20% a year. They're going to average somewhere between 4.5% to 6% a year, but with zero risk, insurance against loss, and no fee. Okay, much better than a bond. Blown the doors off of bond portfolios. Most of them. We've had a couple indexed annuities that have been more in line with bond portfolios, but for the most part, they've blown them out of the water. And with no fees and no risk, guys. Just makes sense. Then you got the other value portfolio with the macroeconomic hedging. You got a momentum portfolio that has stop losses below every single position. And it's allowing us to shoot. Our portfolios were up 1% today, substantially better than the market. But we're hedged. We're protected. Okay, so if everything would have started falling apart today, we got hit a little bit, but we've got protection. Right, and that's what you need. Right, I didn't say don't go outside. What I said is the sky is black. Right? It's dark as it can be. Probably not a bad idea to have a rain jacket and an umbrella. That's the point. So anyway, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. Stick with us, you guys. And also, let me just say it again. Give us a call. Get that risk management strategy dialed up. I'm not going to drill you. I'm not going to twist your arm. You know, we just tell you how it works. This is what it costs. No frills, no nonsense. 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website. Also, keep an eye out for that September 23rd webinar we're doing. Doesn't cost you anything. It's 30 minutes. Saturday morning. Sit there in your bathrobe sipping your coffee. We can have coffee together. It's coffee date. Internet coffee date. This is COVID-style coffee dates, guys. We do it over the web, right? Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our interview with Chase Taylor. Don't miss it. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham.
Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
You know, we can't always count on great health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel having long-term care coverage for me and my wife. If you've been thinking about it, but you have some questions, this is a great time to get answers. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their free long-term care planning live webinars they have coming up. At the webinar, they'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors, they are the best in the country. And I know that because my wife and I went through the whole process with Brian and Madeline, and man, they take great care of their customers. Check out all their reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today, 525longtermcare.com. Join them for one of their upcoming live webinars. The class is free. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us and sticking with us, because we're going to get down to, as you guys all know, same every week, my favorite part of the show. We've got our old macro advisor, our macroeconomics specialist with us, Mr. Chase Taylor of Pinecone Macro, the new father and macro guru. Chase, how in the heck are things, man?
You know, things are good down here in SoCal now that, at least in SoCal, most of our fires are gone and it's not 110 degrees.
Oh, yeah, that 110's a little bit, that's a little bit toasty, huh?
Indeed.
That's not exactly sitting by the pool weather.
No,
it's too hot for that. Okay, man, plenty to talk about. And I really don't have anything specific I want to hit on. Just I'm laughing a little bit. You and I had a conversation. We've had multiple conversations about it, and I think we did it one of the times we talked, where we said, look, we think that the macro shakeout of this thing is you've turned the economy off. You're going to turn it back on. And just by default, turning it back on, you're going to see these big jumps. And then the aggressive talk of V-shaped recoveries is going to commence. Right. And then I think we even said you're going to see some tweets from Trump about record jobs numbers and all this kind of stuff. And literally, now we got to see the way it plays out, but literally, and I'm not sticking my chest out here. We get plenty wrong, but we were pretty dead right on that, weren't we? I mean, that's exactly what's happened. Is it not?
Yeah, definitely. And the last part you're talking about there is, you know, when we have 20%+ growth numbers, popping up, you know, that getting hammered during the election time is going to be, that's still in our future, but they'll definitely use that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Best jobs growth, of all time. We're just going to ignore that we lost record amounts. Right. Yeah. And then what are we seeing in the data right now? A lot of the data that I'm looking at, and I know that, you know, just clients out there that are listening, we're paying attention to macro data, but that's one of the reasons we work with Chase, 'cause he's watching it, you know, in detail all the time. A lot of the numbers look to me, maybe rolling over is the wrong term, but and another shout out to you, and I've said this multiple times, the quote unquote shape of this recovery is increasingly looking like a square root. Is it? I mean, is that what you're seeing? Is that continued, or are you surprised by the strength of the? Where are we at?
Yeah, to me, it still is a square root. I think, you know, you expected it to spike back up, but what happened after that was going to be important. And then we've kind of flatlined, rolled over in some areas. Everyone has their own letter to describe the recovery. And one that does kind of make sense to me is a K-shaped recovery, if people are calling it, where like there are some parts of, you know, the economy and some people that are doing great, and there are some parts and people that are doing terrible. And I think that's really true. A lot of people are, you know, paying down a lot of debt all of a sudden. You know, people that, you know, if you can work from home easily and you still have your white collar job, then, you know, it's easy. You can pay even more bills now because you're not, you know, spending money on gas and things like that. But at the same time, you know, there's 28 million people getting unemployment benefits right now. There are cities where you're starting to see furniture pile up in the streets because so many people are getting evicted. So there's a lot of bifurcation, you know, going on in the recovery that, you know, is going to have plenty of economic consequences as well as probably political consequences because where we're at in the election cycle.
Okay. Now you brought up something that I wanted to talk about specifically, because I've heard you say that. I thought we have a moratorium on evictions and foreclosures.
Yeah. So congressionally we had that, you know, inside of the CARES Act, and that rolled off at the same time that the extended unemployment benefits did. At the end of July, Trump did pass an executive order. So he passed, you know, that slew of executive orders, and it sounded great. It sounded like, hey, everyone still gets, you know, a bunch of unemployment money. You still can't get evicted. But if you actually looked under the surface, so, you know, the kind of the legal reality of everything that was passed there, well, I've been calling it a nothing burger because that's what it was. All he basically did was ask, you know, federal agencies to take a look, hard look into what they should do about evictions. It does not ban evictions federally. So that is still perfectly fine legally from a federal standpoint. And there are certain states and localities that do still have those in place, but there are 20, 30 million people right now that are at risk of being evicted. And there's currently nothing really powerful enough in place federally to stop that. So And this is, you know, this is something
so
I was
on,
saying.
Hold on. So that executive order that Trump just issued, it doesn't have any teeth. There is effectively
correct.
No moratorium.
That is correct.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay. So So kind of a window dressing type deal.
100%. All of those executive orders were window dressing. The unemployment benefits extension, where they were going to pay the $300 only. At the beginning of this week, only two states were even doing that. Now it's five states. A bunch of states are saying they're not even going to do it. Part of that was that they were going to get states to kick in an extra $100 to make it work. And basically every state said, that's cool. We don't have any money, so we're not doing that. There was only 5 weeks worth of money to even support the unemployment benefits from the executive order. So essentially that whole thing it was all for show, really. And a lot of people have said, hey, that's a really smart political move because it makes it look like Congress won't do anything, so the president, you know, just did it all himself. But the problem is, you know, and there's a lot of regular people out there that saw the headlines and said, oh, cool, like I can't get evicted and I'm going to keep getting a bunch of money for unemployment. And they made life decisions based on that. And then all of a sudden they realized, like, oh, that wasn't real. That was more of a headline, you know, and that's having real impacts on people. So, and at the same time, what that did was it gave Congress an excuse to not pass like a real new, like major stimulus package, because they could sit back and say, oh, well, you know, we had the executive order, so we don't have to be in a big rush to do anything. And I think that's the way it's played out, is you had some urgency in Congress to get another round of fiscal stimulus passed, and all just vaporized whenever those executive orders hit. So now, you know, we have now been a month into having all the unemployment benefits gone and the eviction moratorium gone. And you're starting to see the impact of that.
Is it showing up in any of the numbers that we're seeing? My whole thought was if they didn't get that renewed, you would see an immediate contraction in consumer spending. Are we seeing that?
You are starting to see a bit of a roll over there, but I think that will still take, you know, a couple more weeks to really start showing up. But, you can see it, how much money is being paid out unemployment wise, and it's down about $15 billion a week over the last month. And if you annualize that, that's $720 billion a year. So that is a lot of money that has been just pulled out of the economy. So you are going to start seeing, you know, millions of people losing their apartments and their homes.
Well, yeah, you're looking at, I mean, you're looking, you know, you've got to be sitting there looking, that's got to be right around right around 4%, 4% of the size of the economy, that reduction in unemployment benefits.
Yeah, I'd do the math, but yeah, it's, I mean, it's massive. You're getting close to $1 trillion annualized, you know?
Right. Okay. So here's what I don't understand. So hopefully you can shed some light on this. Do politicians not understand the gravity of the situation economically? Maybe they're being, you know, I think you and I would both agree that, you know, and it's hard to see inside their minds. I just know you're looking at these kind of things, so maybe you don't have an answer, but just anything, you know, any light you could shed on it. I'm just wondering if stock market performance, equity performance is, you know, it's clearly influencing, you know, the vast public, the investor public, into thinking that this is a much more robust recovery than is actually taking place. I'm just wondering if politicians are believing that, because I am sitting here scratching my head now, and listeners know, I think, where you and I both sit on the aisle. I mean, you know, we are not a pro intervention to this level. You know, we've said all along throughout this cycle that the Fed was going to paint themselves into a corner. That's exactly what has happened. At the same time, you and I both know that if you stop this flow of unemployment and stimulus, this whole thing craters. I'm just sitting here shocked right now that Trump isn't freaking out more and stomping his feet more, because if he doesn't get those unemployment claims out and he doesn't get that money going out, this thing is going to crater right before the election, isn't it?
Absolutely, it will. And it's a major risk to his reelection, I think. I think his executive orders were a blunder, a political blunder, like of the sort that honestly normally doesn't come out of the White House. I think, you know, what depending on whether you agree or disagree with a lot of the policies and sentiment, like they're usually pretty savvy politically. And I think personally, they probably on this one kind of got played by Nancy Pelosi. I think she got the best of them on this one. Whether they viewed it as they had to do the executive orders, you know, just to get something out there because they didn't think anything was going to pass no matter what, then from that standpoint, yeah, I guess it's better than nothing. But, you know, I think they removed not only the urgency from the other side of the aisle, but from especially the Senate GOP, because Senate GOP was already just really hesitant to pass, you know, any major bill. The Democrats passed $3.5 trillion. The Republicans couldn't even pass a $1 trillion bill in the Senate. They never even passed one.
Chase, between you and I was completely gobsmacked that they didn't jump all over that $3.5 trillion and do it.
So I agree with you from a number standpoint. And I think, you know, that would have been kind of a savvy political play to like, oh yeah, that's cool, we'll just pass that. And because then, you know, the economy would have boomed, and I think that would have really crushed their chances of winning in the election. But they made it such a kind of left-wing wish list of spending that that was just unpalatable, you know, with so much green spending and things like that, that, you know, a lot of traditional Republicans just weren't going to get down with.
Well, they are. OK, so the Democrats, to their credit, they are playing chess. They said, OK, we'll pass your stimulus bill, but we're going to load it up with a bunch of things that we know you can't stomach. So then you're going to go down as the guys that voted no on the stimulus bill.
Yeah, and the two sides have come nowhere close to really meeting in the middle on this thing. Both sides want the other side to come really far towards them. the only way this can even work right now is if the White House and Pelosi and Schumer make a deal, and then they just shove it down the Senate GOP's throat and pass it by one vote. That is the only way this is really going to work out. And to this point, you know, we haven't even come close to that. They're barely even talking right now.
Okay, so now what's the story? Where are we at? And just so, again, I want to reemphasize this, that do not think that I am advocating a $3.5 trillion stimulus bill, right? Chase and I are simply saying that people need to wake up to the fact that if you are hoping for a government to leave their hands off of this and a healthy, robust, normal recovery, you know, I've got a bridge to sell you. That ain't going to happen, right? If they don't pump the stimulus, you will see a crater, probably, you know, not down to the bottom of where we were at the shutdown, but probably approaching it. You know, you would have a, don't you believe that, Chase? I mean, do you think I'm off by saying that, that you would have another, like a double dip type scenario if you don't keep the stimulus going, right?
Oh yeah. Big time. So we are going to get a double dip. I think that's pretty much baked in at this point, but it could be a really big one without another, you know, just massive round of stimulus. And eventually we'll get something. And I've been really surprised that the market's totally ignored this to this point. Very surprised.
Well, but I think that what's happened though is you've just disconnected here, you know, meaning that the euphoria, you know, we needed, you know, shoot, even 5 months ago, right? Even 3 months ago, you needed reasons to keep it rolling. I think this boulder is just rolling down the cliff at this point. You know what I mean? Like, as far as the market's going, I just think that it doesn't really need anything at this moment. I mean, I think it's going to hit a wall, but you know, the momentum of the market is begetting more momentum.
It's its own thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's gone postal. Okay, so, and speaking of which, while we're sitting here talking, S&P has crossed above 3,500, 3,506. Where are we at as far as, so is the sequence of events then, what I wanted to ask you is this: where does the $1.8 trillion that is sitting on the Treasury's balance sheet, where does that play into all this?
So it's down to like closer to like 1.5, 1.6 now. And like half of that's earmarked just to like forgiving PPP loans. And so really that number isn't as big as people think. And it's going to get drawn down. Some of it is kind of set aside and earmarked for the next round of stimulus, but hey, if you don't pass anything, you don't get to spend it. So I think the TGA is getting a little bit too much just attention. And I to me, it's priced in. Like, everyone knows it's there. Anyone that looked carefully, you know, they kind of know where it's headed. So I'm not paying as much attention to it as I was, I don't know, like call it a month ago, personally. I'm paying more attention to the fiscal side and just some other data that we're starting to see in the economy that people aren't paying attention to that's going to matter.
Well, are you saying that facts are going to matter at some point again?
Yeah. So speaking of, there's something I want to highlight. I'll just talk about it now just so I don't forget. And that's what we're seeing is like a lot of credit deteriorating and like for real people, regular folks out there. So what's funny is, you know, whenever this fiscal stimulus rolled off, nobody in the market cared. Obviously Congress doesn't seem to care enough to do anything about it, but who is caring is banks. So whenever banks realized the gravy train was, you know, going to get stopped for a little bit, they're tightening up credit lines, whether it's credit cards, just chopping people's, you know, credit limits down even up like 80-90%, I've heard. So maybe your credit card said you could spend 50 grand. Now it says, hey, like you got 5 grand. Because they know a lot of people don't have a job and they don't have income and they're liable to just run up their credit card, you know, all the way to the max and just not pay it back. So you're starting to see that. You're seeing, just the standards get tightened up for credit. So a lot of people that want to get a mortgage that, you know, if it's not a good guaranteed mortgage, it's just not going to happen. Revolving loans, so you know, it's kind of consumer credit loans. Those are, if you don't have perfect credit and can't prove you have a job that's probably stable, you're not getting a loan. So that's going to start having a really big macro impact. Usually there's about a 2-quarter lag on that, and then all of a sudden you'll see retail sales just kind of implode. So even Q1 2021, I think you should start seeing the consumer start to look really bad and retail sales roll over, which means obviously earnings are going to take a probably bigger hit than anyone expects. And, you know, I feel like you and I have been saying, hey, like earnings are going to be worse than people expect for about 6 months now. And to this point, we've been right. They've been brutal and they've blown out all those early expectations, even early on in the pandemic. And I just think it's going to keep deteriorating.
Yeah. I mean, it sure seems that way. Okay. So are we going to see another stimulus bill prior to the election? I guess it really depends on what happens politically, but I'm just wondering, like I said to you earlier, and I don't want to circle back on this and review it, but I'm just trying to wrap my head around right now what is going on in the Trump White House and why they aren't responding to this. Is there a way for them to get more funds out there without congressional approval? Is there a way for them to end around it? Do you think they understand the gravity, or do you think, like I was alluding to earlier, or do you think they're kind of being anesthetized by the market as well and thinking that this is going much better than, because it really is. And Chase, again, I've been accused of being too negative, and I always push that back because I go, look, you know, when you're in this business, I think to be negative or positive is an error in and of itself, meaning that I want to see things the way they are in an unbiased fashion. And I'm looking at this whole scenario, kind of scratching my head, wondering why they're not freaking out more, why they're not more dedicated to, you know, trying to get that money out there, or Fed, maybe they are, maybe we're just not hearing it, but it seems like everybody's sort of, you know, I don't know, like asleep at the wheel. And then I'm listening to these people, these market commentators talk about, you know, this bounce back is even stronger than we thought and all this. And I'm looking at them going, you know, I don't know what data you guys are looking at. I mean, you have had that initial surge that you and I said, just by, like I said, you know, just as a ramification of just turning the economy back on. But I'm not seeing the strength that everybody's talking about. Am I looking in the wrong place, or are there pockets? Like you said, it's kind of K-shaped. Are there pockets of strength outside of large tech companies?
Yeah, I mean, home builders, you know, have just incredible. As well as the lumber to make them. But yeah, I mean, there are definitely pockets. But what I think is happening really is people just get so influenced by market prices. So I think when people see, hey, the stock market ripping and, you know, investment grade bonds are doing great, they just kind of, it just dulls your senses to reality, you know, kind of underlying that. So I think that's largely what's happening. If you look at, like, obviously the Fed's out there buying, you know, Berkshire Hathaway bonds and Apple bonds. And so investment grade bonds are doing great. But if you look at CCC rated, the default rate on those is 40% right now. I mean, that's, there's a lot of data that's depressionary, right? But it's getting ignored because, hey, the S&P is up again. So everything's probably fine. You know, no need to dig deep if the S&P is up. So it's very bifurcated.
All right, guys. Unfortunately, due to time constraints, we've got to cut the episode off right here. But as always, I'm going to pound on this one because there just really aren't any places to get, you know, even when I hear it, it's so much opinion in financial journalism, right? And in journalism as a whole these days, that's no surprise to any of us. But the reason I think that this is so valuable and the reason why we pay for Chase's research is because it is unbiased. We don't care. We're just trying to get it right. And it really is one of the only places I know where you can get it. You turn on CNBC, you're going to have an occasional bear over there that tells you the whole world is blowing up. And most of the people they have on are bulls, and they're like, oh, it's just going to keep going. And da-da. You know, with most things, it's more nuanced than that. Could it keep going much higher? Heck yeah. Is the economic backdrop good? Good golly, no. It's bad. And I want you to hear the entirety of that interview so you have the data and the facts. Then you can also just share that with people, just so people know what's going on. Because I think one of the tragedies of today is that real information, unbiased information, is at such a premium. And do we want to get clients out of doing this radio show? Of course we do. But the other thing is I want to be a voice of you know, honest information. We want to be a source of unbiased information where you can actually, you know, get down to the crux and the heart of the matter without any political nonsense. And you know, right now, I think the political divide is perfect. You talk to people on the left and it's, you know, everything's horrible and Trump's ruined the country and da, da, da. You talk to people on the right and they're like, oh, this is the Democrats just trying to shut down the economy, you know, and the economy's roaring back. And, you know, it's just, there is bias in both of those opinions. What are the facts? And I think this is another important interview that I think people should send to family and friends. Not to hear what I have to say, but hear what Chase has to say. Hear what a guy, firms like us employ and not employ, but pay for his research and insight because he's extremely credible. He's been extremely accurate. And most importantly, he's unbiased. And I think that's what we need. And you can get the rest of this interview by going to the podcast, just by Googling Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. Go to Stitcher, which is a podcast site, mynorthwest.com. And like I said, just Google it. You'll have Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. 20 different sites come up. People go, I don't know how to use it. Click on one of the sites, go to the show that says Chase Taylor and click play. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on your computer. You can do it anywhere. And for that matter, you can access every single podcast we've ever done. There's no charge, no paywall, nothing like that. And guys, I'm not saying that so you can hear me talk. I'm saying it because you listen to some of the great minds we've had and, you know, famous money managers with great track records. I think it's an incredible, valuable source of information. But the other thing I think it should, you know, when we started doing this show, I remember going on and saying what people need in these crazy times, because markets were bizarre even 5 years ago. What people need in these crazy times is a portfolio that can rise with markets, but has a chair, right? Guarantees that there's a chair there when the music stops, because this could go so much higher than most people think, and it could end violently. We kind of saw a preview of that in March, right? It can end violently and much more quickly and much more nasty than most people think. So what we need is a risk-managed portfolio that can work in both environments, and that's what we do. That's why our clients were only down 5.5%, 6.5% in March when the markets were down 36%. That's why our average client is up on the year, right? Risk management. That's why our average client, you know, there's just a better way to do it, guys. Invest the 3 to 5 minutes to educate yourself. Get our Common Sense Investing booklet. Sign up for the webinar that we've got coming up on September 23rd. There's just a better way to do it. And what's funny is we're seeing more and more firms gravitating toward the types of things that we've been advocating for 10 years. Because I think that reality is starting to set in. And, you know, don't be late to that party. The other one too, guys, there are so many people listening right now that have the average 60-40 portfolio. Forbes had out another article just this week talking about the 60-40 portfolio is doomed. You have to wake up to this. It's going to kill you. You're going to get feed to death. You're not going to make anything. You're not going to be protected against inflation. And most important, you think you're in a really conservative portfolio, you can still lose 20 to 25%. Matter of fact, most 60-40 portfolios were down 20, 25% during the drawdown. And even worse, their upside has been anemic because the bonds are killing them. There's a better way to do it. Less risk, less fees, more upside. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. We got to run. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week. Got another great interview on tap. And we'll see you then. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.